Almighty and most holy God, I am not worthy to have you into my home, but only say the word and I will be healed. And may the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. Amen. The obstacles for Zacchaeus were pretty physical, pretty obvious. It was a row of people. He was too short to see around them. Well, how important was it to see Jesus? Why did it matter? What difference would it make just to see Jesus? What lengths was Zacchaeus willing to go to in order to get a glimpse of Jesus? Well, Zacchaeus set his dignity aside. He began to climb a tree. This is an honor and shame culture. And Zacchaeus is a man of wealth, presumably power over the people around him, who he collects money from. And he is a man in robes, not pants, climbing a tree. It's safe to say that this was not the most dignified moment in his life. But he had his heart set on seeing Jesus. And what would it mean to you? Do you desire to meet Jesus? Do you desire to see Jesus face to face? And what are the obstacles for you? Now, Zacchaeus had a crowd of people, and he could climb a tree and look past them. And for us, obviously, it's a little more complex. Jesus is the right hand of God the Father at the moment, present with us and all who believe through the Holy Spirit. There is no tree tall enough that we could climb it to get a glimpse of Jesus face to face. And so we seek Jesus in other ways in this world while we wait for his return or our death. What are the obstacles that get in our way? Is it our work and our busyness? Is it other things that we'd rather look at? Games, movies, or sports, friends, family? What is it that you are allowing to get in the way? And are you willing to go to that extra effort, maybe even do something that is embarrassing in an attempt to see Jesus face to face? Zacchaeus could have just listened to the crowd. He could have said, what's he doing now? What's he saying? He could have asked other people to tell him about Jesus. Is that enough? Is it enough for you to hear from others about Jesus? To just be satisfied with the report of the crowd? Satisfied with letting others share about their encounters? How far are you willing to go personally to see Jesus for yourself? Zacchaeus climbed the tree. Now I imagine this, that there was, he looked around and he saw this tree near the side of the road. Sycamore trees can have these big, thick branches. Sometimes they are mottled in color. I imagine him trying to get a grip on the tree and climbing up onto a branch that went out over the crowd towards the road. And imagine him getting up there and looking and then realizing that Jesus is actually walking right towards the tree along the road. And not passing by at a distance, but walking right towards the tree, closer and closer, until Zacchaeus is looking right down into Jesus' face. What did he see in that man from Galilee? Lynette read for us from Paul's letter that God has said, let light shine out of the darkness. That God has shone a light into our hearts, the light of knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus looks straight down into the face of Jesus. The knowledge of God, the light of God. And Jesus looked right back at him. And then Jesus called him by name, Zacchaeus. Now, I wonder, in your mind's eye, if you imagine yourself there on that branch looking down, what it means to you to have Jesus looking right at you. Do you see the light of God in that face? Do you see the knowledge of God in that face? Do you see Jesus looking into your eyes and then calling you by name? Is that what you want? Now, what is it that Jesus wants after he calls Zacchaeus' name? What does he say? Because it doesn't stop with this brief encounter. There is an invitation from Jesus. Zacchaeus, I hurry. Come to me. I must stay with you. Hurry. Come to me. I must stay with you. Now, maybe we wanted to climb the tree. Maybe we wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. Maybe he got a little bit closer than we felt comfortable with. He's looking right at us. Well, he really looks like he knows us. He's called us by name. And now he says, hurry, come to me. Now, it's not going to be brief. It's not going to be this one encounter and then I can carry on with my life. He says, I must stay with you. Now, if this were to happen today, especially maybe with some of our younger folks, but maybe all of us here, what would Zacchaeus do? Well, he would get next to Jesus, wouldn't he, and say, no one's going to believe me, and take a selfie, and he'd put it, it's me and Jesus, I met him today on the streets, and he'd put it on Facebook, and then a year from now, Facebook would bring that picture up. It's your anniversary of becoming friends with Jesus. Oh, I can't believe it's been a year already. And you click on Jesus. What is Jesus up to these days? Could it be that Jesus is not interested in being called upon once in a while? That he's not just interested in this brief encounter, but plans on staying? I'm reminded of A.W. Tozer, who remarked that perhaps we imagine a polite man knocking at the door of our lives, hat in hand, saying, may I come in? But this is Jesus Christ, the one who has powers over all powers, as we saw in his life, over illness and death, over demons, over people, over the wind and the waves, and over death. And Jesus has been given all authority on earth and in heaven. And it is this Lord who is standing looking at us saying, I must stay with you. An awkward and uncomfortable thing about meeting Jesus. He comes in and he takes charge. And he begins to transform us. He's like a house guest who comes in and begins to point out all the things that he feels ought to change in your house. But he is the Lord. So far in Luke's gospel, Jesus had been teaching the disciples about how he wanted them to live with other people and with God. He had told stories, parables, about outsiders being reconciled to God and neighbors, stories about social upheaval, teaching moments with children and tax collectors about dramatic social reversals. All of this sort of theory. But now they have a real life example in Zacchaeus. The Gospels can be so awkward because Jesus is clearly creating a new community that is meant to live together. And that means making things right with one another and with God. It means living according to this radical new way of doing things that could cost those who choose to be a part of this new community. It could cost them everything. And Zacchaeus is a living example of that. Come, hurry. But as soon as Zacchaeus does, the problems that are there in the community come to the surface right away. He was one of the despised. He was one of the wealthy tax collectors who took money from everyone. To the shock and disgust of the crowd, Jesus announces that he would go and eat in Zacchaeus' home. Well, would there be reconciliation? Would people have to forgive? And how would Zacchaeus respond? First, he vowed to make restitution to anyone that he had wronged. If I've taken anything I shouldn't have, I will pay it back fourfold. And then secondly, knowing that he was coming into this community where he would be one of this group of people who used to hate him, one with people who didn't have the financial means that he did, he reduced the disparity between his wealth and that of his neighbors voluntarily. I will give half of everything I have away in order to be part of this community, Jesus, that you have created. What about us? Jesus comes in, invites us into this new family. Is there someone or some people that we need to make things right with? Is there anyone that we have wronged? First in this congregation, maybe in the wider body in Regina, or maybe our neighbors. In fact, this meal that we'll take part in, Jesus says, don't let anything stand in your way. This meal is a reminder of how urgent it is for us to make things right with one another. And it might be that there'll be a cost. It might be that restitution of some kind is required in order to make things right with each other. Is there a payment that needs to be made? Now, over the past 6 or 7 years in this congregation, we've been through some difficult times. And I know some of you have been here for longer, and I'm sure there have been other moments equally difficult. Is there anything that we need to make right? Now, we've hired Kaylee, we've hired Richard. It is a promise from God, it's a sign of God's goodness. But if there is something that we need to make right still, we ought to do that. And secondly, is there anything that we can do to reduce the differences that exist between us? Perhaps it is just simply using the time that we have and spending more of it with one another. Maybe it's reducing the amount of time that we spend in ourselves and spending it with our physical neighbors, the people next door to us. Maybe it's as we visit, we find out things that others need that we could help with. Maybe it is strictly financial. Maybe God has blessed you in such ways that you have means that others don't in this congregation. And maybe there's some nudge that the Holy Spirit will, something that the Holy Spirit will nudge you to do, to free up some of that money, to lift others up so that nothing would stand between us as a church. This is the extraordinary power of God in the face of Jesus. It's the power to change our habits, our way of life, create new friendships and connections out of nothing, across divides that exist normally in societies. The joyful and freeing encounter with Jesus is the reason we gather every Sunday, isn't it? Jesus loosens our hold on what's ours, whether it's our time, our money, our life itself. We begin to let go, and we are welcomed into a new community, a new family, new friendships and relationships. Jesus says, I must stay with you. And so if you are choosing to follow Jesus, the work is never done until the day that we die. And we have this meal that Jesus himself has prepared for us. This meal that Jesus himself invites us to. A sign as we put the bread and wine and juice inside us. A sign that Jesus comes to live within us through the Holy Spirit.